Good evening. In just a minute, we're going to be looking at Numbers chapter 22. As I was getting the Devo ready for tonight, I forgot that Jerry's been teaching on Numbers. So when y'all get to Numbers 22, maybe he can clear up some of the stuff I'm about to make a mess of. But we're going to talk tonight about a story that many of us already know, and the story of Balaam. And Balaam was a man that wasn't necessarily a good man, but we're gonna talk about and summarize the story of Balaam, and then maybe draw a few conclusions that maybe we can apply to our lives. Before we get to Numbers 22, we know that Numbers 21. We're reading about how the Israelites were attacked by the Amorites. Israelites are making their way to the Promised Land, and the Lord helped his people defeat the Amorites and conquer other kingdoms in that area. And Balak, the king of Moab, who is not far from where this battle occurred, witnessed the Israelites defeating his neighbors, and he became nervous that he decided that he needed to do something. In Numbers chapter 22, verse 3, the Bible says that Moab was in great fear of the Israelites. They knew that their land and their region was in danger because of what Israel had been doing on their way to the Promised Land. So Balak comes up with a great plan. He's going to hire a man named Balaam to curse Israel. Now, Balaam was a diviner. He was a heathen prophet. And Balaam had a reputation for bringing curses upon armies. And whether there was some supernatural power involved or not, Balaam was accurate sometimes in his predictions. You know, perhaps this could have been partly due to him being a careful selection of his customers. He might have just chosen only to work for those whose future seemed apparent, but Balak wanted Balaam to come do this for him. So we read in Numbers chapter 22 that King Balak sends some messengers to Balaam, and they bring money and fame and fortune. And as I read the passage in Numbers 22, I see dollar signs on Balaam's eyes. And they come to him not once, but twice. And after the first time, God comes to Balaam and tells Balaam that he's not allowed to go. You're not going to go to Balak. You're not going to curse the people of Israel. It's not going to happen because my people are blessed. The Israelites are blessed. The second time, Balak sends more messengers. In Numbers chapter 22, verse 15, the Bible says, Balak sent again leaders more numerous and more distinguished than the former. Balak is up in the ante to try to recruit Balaam for this job. Balaam really wants to do this, I think. Balaam wants to have the fame and the notoriety and the fortune that comes with this reward that Balak's offering. So God comes to him again and tells Balaam to go. You know, we're not really sure why God tells him to go. God knows Balaam's heart. God probably knew that Balaam had in his mind what he wanted to do already. But God tells him to go, and Balaam didn't hesitate. The very next morning, Balaam gets on his donkey, and he heads down the road to Moab. And God had set up a problem for Balaam. God sent an angel that blocked the road to Moab. And this angel was there to kill Balaam. The problem with this is Balaam couldn't see this angel right away, but the donkey could, right? You know the story. The donkey sees the angel in the road, and the donkey veers off the road, and Balaam is mad at the donkey because he's not going the right way. So Balaam whips the donkey and beats the donkey. And then the next thing we know, the donkey runs Balaam into a wall and crushes his leg, and Balaam gets more frustrated and more mad, and he whips the donkey a second time. Finally, because there's nowhere for the donkey to go without certain death, the donkey lays down, and Balaam beats the donkey again, a third time. Then we get to verse 28, Numbers chapter 22, verse 28. The Bible says, "And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey." Now, this is interesting. Our family has a dog at our house. His name is Simba. Some of you have met Simba. Simba is a pretty smart dog. We talk to Simba a lot, like he's a human being. Simba has never once uttered one word or put together one sentence in reply to us. But God produces a miracle here in verse 28. The Lord allows this donkey to speak. Now, that sounds silly, but, you know, I think as we read the Bible, especially the Old Testament, there are some things that are out of the ordinary for us. And we have to remember in this passage that this is true. This is not a fairy tale. This is not made up. This is not symbolic. The donkey literally spoke. And he tells Balaam in verse 28, it says, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" And probably even more bizarre, as we already know, Balaam talks back to the donkey. Balaam says to the donkey, "Because you have made a mockery of me, if there had been a sword in my hand, I would have killed you by now." Balaam converses with this donkey, and shortly after, in verse 31, the Bible says, "And the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed all the way to the ground. And the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out as an adversary because your way was contrary to me.'" Obviously, God had in mind killing Balaam because maybe his heart wasn't in the right place. The donkey was the one that saved Balaam. And after this event, the angel of the Lord tells Balaam to go ahead and go to Balak. God has a plan in mind. Balaam is sent on to Balak, and God tells Balaam, he says, "You know, when you go to Balak, you're only going to speak what I allow you to speak." So Balaam goes to Balak. Balak's a little frustrated because it's taken Balaam so long to get there. But when Balaam gets there, Balak's ready for his plan to take shape. He takes Balaam up on the high places, and Balaam tells Balak to assemble some altars and assemble some sacrifices. And Balaam does his sorcery, and he opens his mouth to curse Israel, but instead of a curse, a blessing comes out. Balak is getting more and more frustrated, so they go to a different place, and they have more altars and more sacrifices. And again, Balaam opens his mouth trying to curse Israel only for a blessing to come out. A third time, they do the same thing. And again, no curse, only blessing. God had blessed Israel despite what Balaam wanted to do. I want us to take a few moments here as we close to highlight a few lessons that we can learn from this story and learn from Balaam. Lesson number one is, our challenge is not to convert God to be on our side, but to be converted so that we may be on his side. Many people are just like Balaam in that they are seeking to get God to join them to be on their side. The message of the Bible is that we are on one side and God is on the opposite side. We are sinners and God is righteous. We are in this adversarial relationship to God, and it was God who took the initiative so that we might no longer be his enemies, but his sons. Isaiah 53, verse 6, the Bible says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." It was Jesus who allowed us to be God's sons. Number two, getting away with sin for a season should in no way lead one to conclude that there will be no dire consequences in the future. Balaam disobeyed God by going with the messengers to meet Balak. Balaam might as well have thought that he was making progress with God and that there was good reason to hope that God would change his mind about Israel. God had told Balaam no at first, yet he later permitted him to go to meet Balak. God threw a good scare into Balaam on his journey, but he did survive. How easy would it be for Balaam to reason that he would not be punished for his sin and that he might even be rewarded for it? Balaam is a reminder that there is a payday someday. It is not until the end of the book of Numbers that Balaam dies because of his sin. We should never mistake long-suffering of God for apathy. God will most certainly reward the righteous and punish the wicked. Number three, it is never more dangerous or foolish than to be for what God is against and against what God is for. Let me read that again. It is never more dangerous or foolish than to be for what God is against and against what God is for. Balaam was seeking to curse those who God had blessed, and that made Balaam against those whom God was for. In so doing, Balaam found God to be his adversary. How much better is it for us to have God as our advocate? As the Apostle Paul puts it in Romans chapter 8, what then shall we say about these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Those who would have God as their adversary are those who must someday bow before him as Lord of all. Lastly, number four, there's nothing more important than being on the right path, nor more dangerous than being on the wrong one. As I read through the Bible, I see two paths constantly being described. One path is the way of righteousness, which is the way of life. And the other path, the way of sin, which is the way that leads to death. Balaam is on the wrong path. It is a path that will inevitably lead to his death. Even Balaam's donkey could see the danger, but not Balaam. Let me remind you that there are only two paths. There are only two ways. Jesus is the one and the only way to eternal life. Sin and self-interest is the way that leads to destruction. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." I hope that we can apply some of these lessons from Balaam to our lives. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, you can put on Christ, following the right path to eternal salvation. Or if you're already a Christian but have fallen away, make your life right tonight. If you have any spiritual need this evening, please come forward as we stand and sing.